Heavenly Father, we thank you. We glorify your name, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is among us this morning, Lord. Father, Lord, as you are going to your word, I pray that let your wisdom, your divine wisdom and understanding be upon us, Lord, to understand everything about your word, Lord. Father, Lord, as we are going into this world today, Father, Lord, let your word be the word that's going to refresh our inner sight, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Glorify your name, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray, I commit myself to you this morning. Use me as your vessel, Lord. Every word that comes from my mouth, Lord, let be your word, Lord. Guide me through, Lord. In Jesus Christ I pray, amen. Brethren, yeah, we are here again this Sunday to share the word of God. The title for today, title is The Word. The Word. The Word. Let's open our Bible to Colossians 3, verse 16. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In another version, where we see singing with grace, you will see with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the first question is, what the word is? What the word is? We can see in that text we just read, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Notice that God's communication with us, which is normally referred to as the word of God, is described here as the word of Christ. That phrase is only used here and other places in the New Testament. The whole Bible is the story, and it is all about just Christ. Jesus said to the Pharisees, when we open John 5:39, it says, you cite the scripture because you think they give you eternal life, but the scripture points to me. You can recall when Jesus was going to Emmaus, Jesus took two confused disciples through the Old Testament scripture by showing them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. You can see that in Luke 24, verse 27. Jesus is the central figure in the Old Bible, in both Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, is hidden and anticipated. In the New Testament, is revealed and enjoyed. So the whole point of the Bible is that we should come to know and enjoy and love and serve and believe in and live for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Savior and the Lord of all. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is the great theme of Colossians. In Colossians 1, verse 19 says, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Colossians 2:15 says, In him, God triumphed over all the darkness power. Colossians 2:7 says, in him, believers are rooted and built up and established in the faith. The word of God, the Bible, is God speaking to us about his son. Or God speaking to us through his son. Brother, there is some new thinking about the Bible. And this new thinking we're talking about is based on kind of certain evolutionary theory. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. The Christian church has been in agreement for nearly 2,000 years that the Bible is the word of God. One that speaks primarily about his son, Jesus Christ. The church had always had a conviction that the Bible was God's word to us. The church believed that God exists, that God made himself known, and that the Bible tells us what God has said and what he has done. The Bible is essentially a story about God. God's word and God's word to mankind. You can imagine how some began to say, we have been told that the story is all about God. What if the story is really about us? You know, that's how this evolutionary theory comes into play. If this were true, then the Bible would be the evolving story of human thinking about what God might be like. And the Bible would not be God's word to us, but the record of words about God. These are two different views of Bible. In the one, the Bible is God's words to us. In the other, the Bible is our word about God. What you believe about the Bible will shape how you use it and how you respond to it. If you believe the Bible is a human word about God, you may want to read it for inspiration. But when it does not fit well with your view of life or of the world, you will feel free to disagree and choose your own path. If the Bible is merely a collection of human words about God, it will be natural for you to say that was then, but this is now. I want to make it very clear that in this church, we do not view Bible as a collection of human words or thought about God. It is not our word about God. It is God's words to us. Hallelujah. So another question I want to ask. Why the word matters? Why the word of God matters? Why is this important? What difference does it make? Why should anyone care about the Bible? The Bible is our speaking about God, or God speaking to us? Brilliant. It makes all the difference in the world. And here, this is why. One, if God has not spoken his promises, our wishes, think about, so, Think about some of the great promises of Scripture. Hebrews 13 verse says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Acts 16 verse 13, 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Philippians 4 19 says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory. So the question is, who said these things? If this word came from the mouth of God, if God said them, if they are indeed the word of God to us, then there are promises on which you can depend. You can build on them in every circumstance of your life. But if these are the word, are human word about God, then they are not promises on which we can depend. They are but merely wishes arising from the heart of Paul or from Isaiah that we might also cherish. If you believe that the Bible is our word about God rather than God's word to us, you undermine the foundation of hope and replace God's promises to us with our wishes about God. Number two, if God has not spoken, his truth is replaced by our opinion. The Bible says that God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in love. These words are repeated not less than seven times in the Old Testament. Exodus, Psalms, Joel, Jonah. But whose words are these? If God spoke these words to Moses and the prophets, we can be sure that he is indeed gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love, because he is the one who said it. He has disclosed this himself. But if this word arose from the thoughts of Moses, David, or Joanna, then we do not have truth that we can count on for our lives today. All we have is opinion that arose from the experience of this particular man. And it may or may not prove true for us today. When the word of God to us is viewed as a word about God, not only do his promises become wishes, which undermine the every foundation of hope, but his truth gets replaced by our opinion. That undermines the foundation of our faith. Number three. If God has not spoken, his welcome is replaced by our journey. The Bible is full of invitations. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. James 4, 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, come let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And the question again is, who said these things? If God said them, So, and through the prophet Isaiah and Apostle James, then you can be certain that God is reaching out to us in love. That means we can come to him with confidence. We can enjoy a true and authentic relationship with God because he has invited us to come to him. If this word was simply a reflection of thought or experience of James or Isaiah, there are only pointers on a journey. They tell us what others have found, but they offer no assurance that we will find the same. If the Bible is viewed as our word about God rather than God's words to us, you may have the people preaching out and seeking after God, but very, very little finding. Why? Because what is lost is God reaching out in love through his Son. And what you have left is people seeking. So what's at stake here? If Bible is our word about God rather than God's words to us, then God's promises are replaced by our wishes. And we lose the basis of hope. God's truth is replaced by our opinion. We lose the foundation of faith. God's welcome is replaced by our journey. We lose the assurance of his love. Do you see how much is at stake here, brethren? The basis of faith, hope, and love all rest on God having spoken, giving us promises, telling us who he is, inviting us in a relationship with him, and telling is how that is possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. When I think about all this, it makes me step back and breathe a big sigh of relief. Thank God for the word of Christ. Hallelujah. So another question that I want to ask again is, what the word produces. One, you will grow in strength against temptation. You will grow in strength against temptation. 1 John 2 verse 14 says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. John identifies different groups within the congregation in his letter. He writes some things, especially to those who are older. Here he speaks specifically to young men. Now, if you look at that verse carefully, you will see that the word of God abides in you. The word of God is going into your soul, is settling in your inner life, and it remains there. I remember that several weeks we talked about in Sunday school, memorizing the verses or memorizing the scriptures, you know. And this is what we are talking again today. So, if it's settling in your inner life and it remains there, the result of this is that you are strong. You started out like a little children, And one time you are spiritually infant. But now, even though you are still young, you are spiritually mature. And because of this, you have overcome the evil ones. These are the victory of over temptation in your life. Progress is being made. You are growing up in Christ. And the reason is that the word of God abides in you. That's why I will encourage the young adults to continue doing the fellowship so that they can learn more about the word of God. So that the word of God will abide in them. You will get this strength from it, from the church and the youth group that is serious about getting the word in their lives. Number two, what the word produces. You will grow in the effectiveness in prayer. Again, John 15 verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Notice here, effectiveness in prayer arises from the word abiding in your soul. If my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The strength of our prayer shows how much or how little the word of God dwells in us. Our ability to pray well for our wives, for our children, for our family, for our friends, hangs on this. Where the word abides, the fruit will be seen in effective praying. Number three. You will grow in wisdom and discernment. We are still talking about what the word produces. If you go back again to Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Brethren, we live in a how-to culture in which many people are becoming more and more dependent on someone else, telling them how to do even most basic things in life. Once the how-to things take the root in your mind, it could be quite paralyzing. You lose confidence. You feel that you will mess things up unless you can get someone else to walk you through what to do. The Bible has a great answer to this, and it's called wisdom. A rich and regular diet of the Word of God will increase your wisdom. The Bible is the Word of God. It comes from the mind of God. Thinking God's thought after Him is the best way to grow in wisdom for every area of your life. Number four. We are still talking about what the word produces. You will grow in usefulness to others. You will grow in usefulness to others. Again, that Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. God's people are feeding on his word. It dwells in them richly, and speak, and they speak about their lives. They're able to help each other to see how the world relates in the various circumstances of our lives. I remember that someone says, I'm really struggling with my 13-year-old daughter, and explain some of the circumstances. Someone says, I'm struggling with my 17-year-old boy, son. Someone else says, here is what I learned from scripture that helped me. Here is the principle I applied. Not only God's people are able to teach one another, but they are able to admonish one another. That is, they can spot where someone is straying down in the wrong path and help get them back on straight and narrow. This kind of mutual ministry in the body of Christ is wonderful. It depends on God's words dwelling in the people's richly. How much more useful could you be to others if the word of Christ dwell much richly in you? Number five. You will grow in joy and thanksgiving. Remember the scripture, Colossians 3:16 that we read? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. A rich diet of the word of Christ always produces more joy and thanksgiving in the lives of God's people than if you drift through life with your Bible closed. Spiritual life is found and is nourished by the word of God. Spiritual life is found and fed from the Bible before you. In 1 Peter 1:23 says, you have been born again through the living and abiding word of God. Matthew 4 verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So now, what is our responsibility to the word? You know, what is our responsibility to the word? In the scripture we read, Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of God be honored, welcome guest of your life. Let the word live with you. Let it remain in you. Don't have a passing brush with the word of God. The word of God can dwell in the life of a Christian believer in a different degree. Let there be a plenty of the word in your life. Give the word an honor and prominent place in your life. The question is the word of, is the word of Christ dwell richly in you? So how are you going to do this? You can do it in different ways. You can make the best possible use of Sunday service by attending Sunday schools, by attending Bible studies, establish a pattern of daily Bible reading and meditation. These are some ways that the word of Christ can be dwelt richly in us. The book of Hebrews describes people in him, the word does not dwell richly. Brennan, when I was preparing for this this word, I was asking that God should give me what to talk about this morning. But God said that he had a word for somebody. And that word is what we're talking about this morning. We've looked at our responsibility to the word. We've looked at what the word produces. We've looked at why this word even matters to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. If this word is for you, I want us to rest up and in prayer. I want us to pray this morning. I want us to pray that God should strengthen our inner mind to be able to receive his revelations. Many times when we are reading the Bible or we are reading some scriptures, we need God's interpretation. Because sometimes some people use those words to for their own personal interpretation. God should interpret his word to us. Psalm 90 verse 14 says, "Oh, sanctify us early with that mercy, that we rejoice and glad in all days." Brethren, we're going to use this word as we are entering the new month of August. That let's seek for God's mercy from today to the end of the year. Psalm 19 verse 17 says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God upon us, and establish there the work of our hand upon us. Yea, the work of our hand establish thou it." Brilliant, as we are entering the month of August, let us pray that God should establish you in your career, in your businesses. Let the remaining month of 2020 be prosperous for you, your wife, your children, your household. Job 22 verse 28 says, "You will succeed in whatever you choose to do. The light will shine on your road ahead of you." These are the promises of God to us. Because this morning we're talking about his word. And these are the words we can depend upon. Psalm 97, verse 5 says, the ills met like what? At the presence of the Lord. And at the presence of the Lord, the old heart. I want us to take this prayer point very serious. You might be facing some challenges right now. And the situation looks like a mountain. We are using his word now. I want us to pray that every challenge, small or big, shall melt like wax. Second Kings 2 verse 8 says that, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smoothed the water. And they were divided, Ether and Thina, so that they too went over on the dry ground. But then every Red Sea in the remaining days, in the remaining month of 2020, we parted away. Brother, we are using his word, because that's his word he gave us this morning. The word that it can depend on. We can see what the word can produce. We can see the benefit of the word. Brethren, I want us to open our mouth and pray. Isaiah 60 verse 10 says, your gate will open, we stay open day and night to receive the word of many lands. The kings of the world will be led as captive in a victory possession. Brethren, I want us to pray for open doors and blessing. Remaining days in the month of July and the new month that's coming in August and the rest of the month in 2020. Doors shall open. Blessing will rain upon us, upon our household, upon our church. We are using his word this morning because he said we should use his words. The word can depend on us. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8 says, the Lord will grant a blessing on everything you do, and you will fill with storehouse with grains. The Lord your God will bless you in the land is given to you. As when the land of Canada, as when the land of Calgary, we shall be blessed. We shall be blessed. While our coming down from Nigeria or anywhere part of the world that we came from to land of Canada, it has been ordained by God. It's the land that is given to us. And as the land given to us, we shall be blessed in everything we do. Brethren, I want us to pray for the prayer of restoration. Jeremiah 33 verse 7 says, I will cause the cavity of Judah and the cavity of Israel to return, and will beat them as the first. Everything that has been lost in the past, and we have been praying. We are praying that everything shall be restored to us in many folds. Brother, this morning we are using his word, because his word is what we can depend on. His word is what we can take to bank. Revelation 21 verse 1 says, then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the old heaven and old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. We are still praying prayer of restoration. I don't know what you have been praying for. I don't know your situation. I don't know, but God sees your heart. God is the one that said, out of the kings, He knows your desire, he knows your expectation. In the few days, in the few hours that remains in the month of July, he is a miracle God. He can do many things. What he can do is limited. It's unlimited. It can turn day to night, it can turn night to day. So whatever your situation, let me arise on your behalf. Job 22 verse 23 says, if you return to Almighty, you will be restored. So clean up your life. So we are still praying for the mercy for restoration. I don't know your situation, but God sees you. He knows what you're going through. In Jesus Christ, Lord, we have prayed. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for that we can depend on your word. We thank you that you open our eyes and give us a revelation about your word this morning, Lord. But Lord, we thank you. We glorify your name, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that be among us this morning. We appreciate you, Lord. But Lord, as we are entering the new month of August, Lord, which is the eighth month of the year, Lord, Father, Lord, usher new things in our life, Lord. In this new month of August, Father, Lord, we shall have testimony, Lord. Father, Lord, things that we have been praying for, that we feel that it's impossible to come back, that we feel that it may not, that we have been praying for this for many times, for very long time, and we have not seen the result. Father, Lord, let us have testimony on this prayer, Lord. Have testimony, Lord. In the new month, let be a new beginning in our life, Lord. In Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray. Amen.